All humor is critical. If you start saying, oh, we mustn't criticize or offend them, then humor's gone. With humor goes a sense of proportion. And then, as far as I'm concerned, you're living in 1984.
Nerderotic.com.
Once again, we need to talk about Dave Chappelle, Rotten Tomatoes, and another comedian who is equally, if not more, controversial. Now, controversial should be part of what a comedian does. It absolutely is in their job description. And if they're not stirring the pot, well, maybe they're not really doing their job. Dave Chappelle and this other comedian did their job to perfection, in my opinion, and both have suffered the consequences for it. But before we get started, speaking of consequences, and speaking of that other unnamed comedian, a couple of months ago, YouTube changed something in their algorithm. So a lot of YouTubers' videos are not getting the traction they used to because they're not getting recommended past 24 hours. So if you like what I do here, please subscribe and consider liking and sharing the video as much as possible, because I rely on the great engagement I get from my subscribers. We just passed 121,000. Thank you very much. I'm very grateful. And that would also help your favorite YouTuber. So if you could do it with them as well, they would appreciate it. I would appreciate it. And I appreciate your time. Now, on to the video. Again, it cannot be understated that Dave Chappelle's Sticks and Stones special did everything it set out to do, and it might have been the most important thing to come out of entertainment, and it might have been the most important thing for pop culture in the last 2 years, quite frankly, since 2016. Hollywood, the access media, and the entertainment industry in London have all lost their damn minds, and they've lost all objectivity. You know, they used to have some, especially when it came to critiquing a film. But now everything is based on where you lie politically. And quite frankly, the politics of Hollywood, London, and the access media has turned a bit cultish. And it's no more evident than them taking the bait of Sticks and Stones. And we have a couple of more critic reviews, a couple of them sacked up and decided to criticize Dave Chappelle, but not many. And the ones that did chime in couldn't really give any nuanced criticism. The only thing they can say, well, I'll let them use their own words. You'll see an underlying theme here. Ian Thomas Malone from Ian Thomas Malone. That's not narcissistic. Lacking empathy can certainly be amusing, but Sticks and Stones is a tired routine. Note that tired routine by a man who forgot to layer jokes into his act, too often sounding like a pundit on Fox News. See what I mean? I read Allison Herman's review last video, but the key word here is predictable, meant to minimize, meant to say he's irrelevant. Then we have Alcy Rengifo from Entertainment Voice. Sticks and Stones isn't necessarily a failure. It just feels like Chappelle presenting half-formed material with few jokes that truly hit hard and stand out. Ultimately, though, it feels like a stale work. From a comedian who was once known for truly boundary-pushing comedy, the kind that actually understood nuance, particularly when famous and powerful men were concerned. I love how they bring up nuance when they are projecting so much within these criticisms. Now, they can't hit David Chappelle with the label that they hit with that other comedian who I have not named yet because of David's skin color. So they have to work around it. Now, they tried to work in the Fox News pundit thing, but they can't exactly call David Chappelle alt-right. So they'll try to hit him with the most basic, un-nuanced criticism there is within the entertainment industry and in the beauty industry that Mrs. Nerdrotic works in, calling you irrelevant, calling you stale, calling you boring. Very basic criticism. And again, it's projection from the very stale, unnuanced dinosaur access media. But Roger Moore here with his WordPress website that's no more impressive than my WordPress website, at least I don't have ads on it yet, states the obvious. At the end, you got our attention, pal, but for the most part, you haven't delivered the funny. I completely disagree. You're just doing what those of us reviewing you are doing, trolling. So there you go. At least this critic admits that he's trolling. And that's what most of these critics have been doing, all 13 of them. I know the NBC Universal owned Rotten Tomatoes is irrelevant and the critics have no credibility. And I, like you, would much rather watch a YouTuber talk about a film or a TV series. But again, they are a great example of media bias, but there are some in the media, and I won't call this guy Access Media, who get it. From Clarence Page, Dave Chappelle pushes the same boundaries that once got Lenny Bruce arrested. In comparison to Lenny Bruce, Bruce died in 1966 of a drug overdose, but he lives on as a martyr to the sort of free speech that has enabled comedians and others to break taboos, speak freely, expose contradictions, and at best, move society toward better understanding of American diversity and freedoms. Or, as Chappelle explained on PBS NewsHour, I don't think people pay money to see a guy who speaks precisely and carefully. Exactly, and that's the same reason people come to YouTube. Or is worried about some repercussions. They just want to see a guy or a girl try to give them something honest and something relatable, or maybe have some fun with something. Right. Above all else, we expect comedians to be funny and fearless. Even when Chappelle seems to go off the rails in his monologue, he more often than not is raising serious concerns, such as how the rules of etiquette for relations across racial, sexual, and political lines keep changing. I have always been a comedy fan since I was a little kid. I grew up on Monty Python. We just heard the great John Cleese talking about PC culture and the problems he's having with it over in the UK. And of course, it's Infected, one of my favorite TV shows, Doctor Who. But as far as comedy is concerned, I grew up on Robin Williams, Eddie Murphy, Rodney Dangerfield, George Carlin, and Bill Hicks later on, and then, of course, Dave Chappelle. They are our modern philosophers, and they are important for pop culture and society as a whole. And it's a harbinger, not unlike, you know, the frogs dying out, to show that an ecosystem is about to go downhill. Our pop culture ecosystem is about to go downhill if we lose comedy. And again, Dave Chappelle might have saved it. Now, the media seems very galvanized in their position. Well, most of them. And it's predictable and it's disappointing. Now, the Access Media tries to apply labels to things they don't like. And they have tried and failed with Dave Chappelle, going as far as to call him a tool of the establishment. And this is where we get to the other comedian, Steven Crowder. Now, Steven Crowder and David Chappelle told essentially the same edgy jokes. They both received backlash, but to Netflix's credit, they did put on the Sticks and Stones special, and for that, they have my respect and admiration. But with Steven Crowder, well, he was demonetized on YouTube. Now, I had a conversation with Quarterblack Garrett, who works for Steven Crowder and is a proud member of the Fandom Menace. All hail Quarterblack Garrett. Link will be in the description of that live stream that we had yesterday. And in that conversation, we talked about, well, the difference in reaction and the difference in consequence.
We've been doing it for 2 years, and then Dave Chappelle just drops this one big hit on Netflix, and everybody freaks out. Well, you know, a couple months earlier, not for the exact same bits, but in the same vein, you know, in the same, you know, on the edge comedy, we get everything taken away. So, I don't know. I don't think Dave should get taken away either. I think we should all be open to make jokes about anything.
Absolutely.
Talking anything.
Equal opportunity offender.
100%.
As I said last night, you know, there was parts that I could have been offended on in that show. I mean, he was talking about recovering addicts and people on opioids and screw them. And it was done in, but if you listen to his entire joke, it was actually at the end, at the very end, he showed great empathy towards them because he was telling a story of how the black community was forgotten during the crack epidemic and they were just told to say no, ha, 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 you know, and now, you know, tide has turned. And
he's brilliant. Like he, the way he tells a joke, he'll set it up. He set up the whole special that way. He started off the special with some typical, you know, kind of making fun of white guy joke, to get everybody kind of going, oh, okay, it's going to be the same thing. And then he jumped right into all the things you weren't supposed to talk about. And the way he crafts the joke is he starts it off where you get offended. And then he finishes the joke with, oh, well, maybe I'm wrong and we should all figure that out. So he kind of curves right at the end and goes, hey, maybe I'm wrong. We should kind of talk, maybe we should talk about these things and not get offended like I know everybody is. And he even had that joke in there about, you clicked on my face. I know that you're going to get offended. You clicked on my face. You heard me tell the joke. It's the ball's in your court. You're the one that's getting offended.
Let's be clear. Steven Crowder and David Chappelle both ruffled some feathers with the establishment. Unfortunately, Steven's the one who suffered consequences when YouTube had to appease the establishment. And speaking of establishment, let's get back to the critics at Rotten Tomatoes, who now represent the establishment. That's why YouTube channels continue to grow, because people can sniff that out. And, well, the critics are upset about that, and the access media is upset about that. And I would be too if I was called a shill all the time, but that's the only thing they still have power over. Some of the corporations, they're losing power and influence with the people. Again, that's why they're upset. And that's probably why they were at the very least disingenuous with their reviews with David Chappelle. More likely, they just ignored the lessons that can be learned. Normalization. I spoke about that in my last video, and I will repeat, you do not have the right not to be offended. And I will add, especially when you seek it out. We are also talking about cancel culture. My last video was a great example of somebody canceling themselves. Walter Mosley, a writer for Star Trek Discovery, was telling a story in a writer's room. He dropped an N-word. This is a black man, by the way. An anonymous person ratted him out to his boss, and instead of going through the humiliation with HR, he just decided to quit because he has been around a while and he doesn't have time for that. And good for him. And now we are having a conversation about this. No, cancel culture isn't a myth. Ask Andy Signore. It's come to a head, and we need to start talking about it more. Comedy creates conversations. You know, I heard Doctor Who wanted to create conversations, but see, that's an example of bad writing just annoying people, and good writing and good comedy creating conversations. And we go back to Clarence Page and the Chicago Tribune in the last paragraph of his article. Sometimes it is courageous comics who provide the catalyst we need for serious discussions about such tough topics. When comedians bomb, they may be behind the times, or, as with Lenny Bruce, maybe they are ahead of their time, as is with Dave Chappelle. Now, Lenny Bruce was not appreciated as much as Dave Chappelle is, but they are equally important. Of course, Lenny Bruce was known for his vulgarity, but he was also known for pushing boundaries and being anti-establishment, as is Dave Chappelle. Comedy is where boundaries are pushed. That's why comedy has to be off limits. And that means for every comedian, Steven Crowder and David Chappelle, when they push these boundaries, it brings us normalization. It's not a pretty process. It's not unlike birth. It's ugly, but then something eventually beautiful comes out the other end. Then it turns 16, tells you to F off, and then 10 years later, when it's 26, it wants to borrow money from you. And I'll end it here. It makes me think of the film Social Network and an opening scene that's got a great line that I will paraphrase. A girl is breaking up with Mark Zuckerberg, and she tells him that you think girls will not like you because you're a nerd. And I'm here to tell you, girls won't like you because you're an asshole. And we need to consider this. Now, here at this channel, I don't care who you vote for. I don't care how you identify. I don't care who you sleep with. As long as you're happy and you're not hurting anybody, you are welcome here. And we can find something in common to talk about. But you may want to consider that you're annoying people with your politics and telling people what to do and telling people what to say and being afraid of words and being afraid of being uncomfortable. That is how Western civilization was built. People being uncomfortable and wanting to be more comfortable. Unfortunately, we are far too comfortable these days.
Nerderotic.com. Please subscribe.